David Dalton is the co-author, along with Tony Sherman, of Pop, The Genius of Andy Warhol. David Dalton and his sister Sarah were assistants on Warhol's early pop art paintings when they were in their teens. Dalton remembers Warhol as a man with big plans.
He had audacious plans like Daffy Duck. He wanted to be a famous fine artist, but he was a commercial illustrator. He wanted to be a famous movie director, and yet he didn't know how to work the camera. And he wanted to be sinister and mysterious and thought after by glamorous people. And, you know, he was very tongue-tied, a wallflower, somewhat goofy and nerdy, basically, at that point.
And so he felt comfortable with a couple of transplanted English boarding school kids.
Yeah. When we got to his house is like Hansel and Gretel's house, you know, the witch's house. As you came in, there was a pinball machine, a wooden Indian, a sort of antique candy machine. You know, we were like innocent kids looking for trouble. And here was somebody really strange and eccentric. And almost as soon as we got there, his mother, Julia, came up from the basement, and my sister had very long blonde hair, and she said, "Oh, an angel is here," and immediately embarked on several stories of gruesome martyrdoms of Czechoslovakian saints, but all told with the enthusiasm of someone describing a scene in Mary Poppins, you know, sort of like, and they put her on the wheel, and they think, you know, it's like, ah!
Actually, just about perfect for teenage kids.
Oh, yeah, of course. He lived, you know, this fantasy teen life, basically. He played pop records. He'd already started to do his pop art. And I think he'd started doing the soup cans, I think. He'd bought the idea of the soup cans from an art dealer called Muriel Latow for $100. He had seen Lichtenstein's Girl with a Ball that was at Leo Castelli's gallery, and he was freaked out because there was somebody else doing pop art. I mean, he never imagined there was anybody else doing this kind of stuff.
You tell a story in the book of actually going to a grocery store with Muriel Latow, don't you?
No, that's actually somebody else, but we did go into the supermarket with Andy, and that was an amazing revelation because all the stuff that was really, you know, invisible, you'd go in to buy cereal or detergent or something, but suddenly all of the stuff, the detergent boxes were in these psychedelic colors and swirling. It was like an MGM musical. Suddenly this whole world was visually revealed to you. And then, the mad captains on the cereal boxes and the purple and green cereal, everything in the place suddenly leapt into life. And it had just been below your vision all these years.
This is sort of who Warhol was for you and for other people too, isn't it? You talk about him starting as a commercial artist, but even as a commercial artist, he wasn't a great draftsman, he wasn't a great painter, but he could see what other people had done and rearrange it. Just like walking into the supermarket and looking at the stack of cans, you'd see it, but he would see it in a different way.
Oh, absolutely. Andy, I think, is essentially a conceptual artist, and as such, he is the beginning of postmodernism, which essentially means that painters no longer needed to actually paint their own paintings. I mean, you could just point at something like Duchamp's urinal and say that's art. Because if you think about it, Andy's images were all photographs. His paintings are really photographs of photographs. That was one of the amazing breakthroughs that he made, because photography had been the bane of painting since 1828, when Nicéphore Niépce took the first photograph, because when you had photography, what were artists going to do? They couldn't, you know, represent reality or whatever the way they had for thousands of years. They had to come up with other ways of seeing. And with the photographic silkscreen process that my sister introduced Andy to at age 14, that changed because he was presenting already existing objects, photographs, images. He wasn't painting anything. Essentially, Andy's art was no different from printing in the past. The silkscreen process being essentially printing, you could print any number of the same image in the same way that, you know, an abstract expressionist wouldn't paint, you know, exactly the same painting. I mean, not that Andy's were exactly the same, but it basically had a printing press. He really could print as many copies of that painting as he wanted and emphasize that by doing paintings where he would have the same image multiplied many times, as many as 250 times on a canvas. So it was not only in sync with the whole assembly line of commercial goods, but it also didn't distinguish itself from the things it was representing.
He didn't see a need to distinguish what he was doing from the world of consumer goods.
No, and also, I mean, I don't think he was specifically voicing this, but to sell paintings of soup cans in a gallery was really not that different from somebody selling the soup cans in a supermarket. Art had taken on an almost quasi-religious quality from Van Gogh on into abstract expressionism. Galleries were considered something almost holy when you went into them, the white walls, the hush. And here was somebody putting those very objects of commercial culture on the wall of the gallery and selling them, you know, as if they were products. In fact, when the Brillo boxes were sent to Canada for an exhibition, the customs there insisted on taxing them as if they were actual boxes of Brillo.
You might have paid lower taxes on the boxes of Brillo than you would on Andy Warhol's art. I don't know.
I would think.
David Dalton is a co-author, along with Tony Sherman, of Pop, The Genius of Andy Warhol.